Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a great show headed your way. Our good friend Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf will be joining us here very, very shortly to talk about kind of the hot subject that's going on, at least right now, in the last couple of days, and that, of course, is the Premier Golf League, also being called the Super Golf League, which is being involved with a lot of money from Saudi families and royalty in that part of the country, that part of the world, and trying to entice some of the top golfers to, if you will, possibly even leave the PGA Tour. So we'll talk about that with Steve coming up here in just a little bit, and anything else that happens to be on Steve's mind, but that's a hot, hot topic. As always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios join us. How are you doing today, Frank?
I'm doing good. I'm just waiting for my $30 million to $100 million offer from the Super Golf League. You know, by the way, if they're listening, we're available. We're available to do radio for you guys. So,
If they're listening. Everybody's listening, Frank. Everybody listens.
Everybody does. My mother, she's
constantly.
Dead.
Constantly. Everybody.
Yeah. No, everything's good. It's perfect weather today good. To play in Nashville, Tennessee. How about Dallas?
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful in Dallas. And, oh, there he is, Steve. You can't Steve. Bite the bit any longer. Steve Johnson is up there on the golf course right now as we speak. How you doing, Steve?
I thought Frank was talking to me. Sorry about that, Tim.
That's okay. That matters.
Let's start over.
I introduced you.
Okay, really.
You're
3, 2, 1. The fusion of golf.
How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. The weather's great here. Golf is in full bloom here, guys. And I keep inviting Tim Matthews out to hit some balls and to play the little course, but he's too busy.
He's got to get
busy.
Tires.
He's got too many honeydews.
He's got to do tires today for his car.
That's a big priority.
I might be able to get out there today. Are you going to be out there all day today?
Yes, I will be.
We're talking about the Golf Ranch, by the way, for anybody that's in the greater Dallas area. If you ever want to hit balls and go to a great range facility and a practice facility, the Golf Ranch, golfranch.net is their website. You can check them out. That's where Steve is now. Just got off the tractor. Because you got how many acres out there, Steve, of actual range, if you will?
Right about 30 acres.
Wow.
And it's all growing right now, so we've got to keep it cut. But it's all about the customer, Tim. You know that. And good grass, good balls. Friendly service and some humor once in a while, but we really try. Our passion is helping people get better at golf. They don't necessarily need to be good golfers; they're just passionate golfers.
I think we should do a live Golf Talk America Hank Haney Golf joint show from the ranch sometime soon.
Ooh, maybe we should.
That would be great.
That'd be cool.
He's got, in addition to the range, right, which accommodates, I'm guessing here, Steve, but you can probably have, 100 people hitting balls at a time, something like that.
Yeah,
right?
About 100. People. We have 270 yards of grass tee, 60 yards deep, so we never run out of grass. We do have covered hitting. We have 6 covered hitting spots that have the top tracer technology, just like on TV, where you hit it and it tells you what the ball speed is. It tells you what the ball's doing, how high it's going, what kind of curve it has. What kind of patterns that you created with your golf shots. It's great. People love it.
Can I do that today? If I go out there today, can I do that?
Absolutely.
Oh, then I'll do that. Frank, got a par 3 course there. Like just short holes, wedges, if you will, from about what, Steve, about 50 yards to maybe 90 yards, 100 yards?
Well, yeah, right around there. You know, between 60 and about 110 yards. And it's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Golfers go out there, too, to practice their short game. Because we know those shots inside 100 yards, if you can convert an up and down there, that's most likely going to be a birdie for most guys.
Yes. So cool. Okay. Well, maybe I'll head out there. We'll talk about that.
Well, don't make me beg.
I want Tim's stats. Just text those or email those to me. I really want to see those because what Tim says and what probably happens are two different things.
No, I tell you what, Tim's a good golfer.
I know he is. I've played with him.
He's a good golfer. Yeah. He's better than most.
We'll see what happens today.
I'm better than most.
Hey, by the way, listen to this. Both of you guys probably don't know this, and then we're going to talk to Steve about the Premier Golf League, so we'll get to that in just a second. But the Byron Nelson is right around the corner, right? The Byron Nelson Tournament here in Dallas. New golf course, new venue that's actually kind of out by where Steve is right now at Craig Ranch is the new venue for the Byron Nelson, and it's coming up in a couple of weeks. Well, in connection with that, listen to this little hook that they've got. There's the Cotton Bowl Golf Club they're creating, and this is at Jerry World, if we're right, the Cowboys football stadium. Inside, there's a bourbon company called Sweetens Core Bourbon, which is owned by a number of different people, including Andy Roddick, pro tennis player, and Mr. Peyton Manning,
who
are involved in this. Peyton Manning, and it's a Tennessee-based bourbon, Frank, out of I think that's the name of the place. It's Sweetens Core, Tennessee.
Sweetens Cove.
And they've
Sweetens
developed
Cove.
This, I'm sorry, not Core, Cove. You're right. Cove.
Okay.
And they've developed this bourbon, and they're going to let guys seriously set up different hitting bays, and they're going to hit balls onto the field. So, like, from up in the stands around the 100,000-seat stadium there, the Cowboys Stadium, they're going to set up, like, you know, artificial turf. You hit off of there to targets that are gone on the football field.
Are we invited?
So it's a neat promotional thing that they're doing. We're not invited, no.
Well,
I'm not gonna, that I know
of. I'm going to contact Sweetens Cove and see if we can't get invited.
But that's kind of cool. It's kind of a yeah.
That is real cool. That is real cool. Do we get to drink the bourbon?
I think everybody gets some drink the bourbon. That's the point of it.
Hey, let's talk. Can we talk a little business here just for a second? Frank
sure.
is big into the promotions. He's big into the to the sales. He's talking about sponsorships and all that. Frank, how much have you sold for the year so far?
In dollars?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't tell anybody.
Okay.
Dollars? No, in pesos.
Okay. Oh, pesos! 200 million.
Okay. Hey, can we talk? We're can we talk up. About this okay. Premier Golf League?
Yes. Hey, Steve, don't dictate the show, okay? Nobody said you have to direct everybody.
It's not the Premier Golf League anymore.
I'm sorry.
I'm sitting here looking at my picture that I have framed on the wall. You know how in government offices you have the picture of the president? I have the picture of Jay Monahan up here.
Oh, yeah, I bet you do.
The caption is, "You'll never work in this town again."
Wow. With red lipstick right on
after,
his face there.
After his meeting the other night, the annual players meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. Woo, boys. I mean, this is a hot potato here. What do you think?
Yeah.
So, Frank, set it up, Frank, for people that maybe aren't familiar with what's going on here and what's being proposed.
Well, it's been going on a long time. Premier Golf League came around years ago, and they tried to put a team golf concept together. And they wanted to go after the top-tier players on the PGA Tour. And they said, okay, since the tour will not pay you appearance fees, we will. And we'll give you X number of millions of dollars up front to join our league, to come away from the PGA Tour, join our league. And then you'll be playing for purses that are much bigger than the purses on the PGA Tour. So you can make a lot more money, a lot faster. And let's face it, I don't know what the percentage is of how many men on the PGA Tour win. I mean, it's a very, very low percentage of winners on the PGA Tour. So in essence, if they're going to give you now $30 million to join, you would have to win two FedEx Cups to make that, and including you'd make more because of all the tournaments you'd win. But just think about it. How many tournaments would you have to win, which the percentage is probably less than 2%, just to make that? So the Premier Golf League has come and reared its head again, and now they've said $30 million for each top-tier player. There's rumors that they offered Phil $100 million to come on board with them. They're trying to steal the big draws off the PGA Tour to form a worldwide tour of team golf with team captains, and the captains would be basically owners of their team or co-owners of their team. So it's a big financial it's a money grab possibility
offering.
For the players, a big financial offering, and there are a lot of ifs in this thing, and we'll discuss them. We don't know
the
if.
The downside of this, Steve, is will the PGA Tour then tell them, okay, then you're out of us.
They've already told them
that we can do that, that you're going to be finished with us. Will you not be able to possibly play in majors? They haven't spoken to that yet, and the USGA is a little bit different, and Royal and Ancients, so they have their different, the Masters have their own entity, but the possibility is, since they're all kind of very, very friendly with the PGA Tour, they may then say, well, if you do this, you're not going to be able to play in these majors. So that's kind of where it stands. A lot of money, but there's the downside of maybe not playing in majors and also having a schedule dictated to you. You're going to have to play in these tournaments that they're going to schedule as opposed to now the players being able to make their own schedule up. So that's kind of the plate as it sits right there in front of these guys now. Steve, how do you think it's all going to play out?
Well, I mean, Frank said it. You know, the PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan came out at the players' meeting and said, hey, you will be suspended. I mean, basically barred from the PGA Tour if you consider doing this. Now, this is just another example of the PGA Tour bullying their way to get what they want. It's a nonprofit organization. These players are independent contractors. It's very clear that the PGA Tour say, oh, wait a second, you're an independent contractor. But an independent contractor really has control of where he plays, what he does, all his fees, endorsements, all his stuff. It's his business. It's not the PGA Tour's business. However, when a player that's an independent contractor on the PGA Tour wants to go play in another event that's opposite the PGA Tour, he's got to get permission from the PGA Tour.
That's a fine line.
Right.
That's a fine line there.
What's that?
That's
Frank?
A very fine line. An independent contractor?
Well, it
sounds
even,
more
it's
like
not
an
even
employee.
A fine line.
Sounds like
it's
an employee.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even a fine line, Frank. There's a 28-point test that you can ask, hey, does this player set his own schedule?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can this player play wherever he wants? No. You know, it's just there's commitments that they have, binding commitments that they have with the PGA Tour. But it's just it's a bullying tactic. I'm surprised he came with that so early. Hey, if you do that, if you guys go over here. And Tim, you and I talked about this the other day. I'm concerned that the PGA Tour does not have any marquee U.S. players that they can wrap their arms around to take them the next 10 years. You know, I mean, Jordan Spieth, I think, is one. Justin Thomas is kind of the next level down. Brooks Koepka, who knows what he's going to do. Matthew Wolf. I mean, all these young players, Colin Morikawa, all these U.S. players, we had Sam Burns that won last week, and he's a damn good player.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But tell the truth, Frank, you wouldn't walk across the street to watch that guy play. I mean, you wouldn't even know who he is.
Well, right. Yeah, that's a good point. Right. I mean, yeah, he is not a draw at this point because he hasn't established his celebrity. So to
right. Well, I think the PGA Tour is worried about the fact that, hey, you know what? We've got a small handful of guys that can carry the league for us, like Phil and Tiger and even Vijay. I mean, Henrik Stenson in a little ways. I mean, the carry, the bring the galleries, the bring the sponsors.
Well, okay.
And if they lose these guys, Frank, they're in a world of hurt.
Oh, there's no doubt. But here's where I get a little fired up about this whole thing. The Korn Ferry Tour has been treated like a stepchild. The PGA Tour Champions has basically been treated like a stepchild. It's an, oh, yeah, by the way. Well, number one, the Korn Ferry Tour would have been the perfect place to put a lot of money to start building the celebrity, to build the social media following and all that. Now they're saying, oh, gosh, somebody held a gun to their head down in Camp Pontevedra, and they said, oh, my goodness, we better start thinking about the future instead of just milking this poor cow until it goes bone dry and drops dead, which is what they've been doing, in my opinion. And that's pretty strong.
I tell you what, Frank, I wouldn't – if I were the PGA Tour, if it were my money, I would not be putting my money, all my eggs in the Korn Ferry basket.
Really?
I mean, it's very clear. It's very clear now this is a world game.
Well, that's a good point.
That's why the PGA Tour is sponsored. The Canadian Tour, the Asian Tour, the Australasian Tour, I mean, South America, they're looking for the next big thing, which is may not even come from the United States.
Probably.
I mean, look at the other tours,
China,
dominated by foreign players. And the PGA Tour is saying, hey, you know what? Man, we've got to expand our focus just a little bit, and we want to be part of the development of these players. It could be the next big thing.
Yeah, good point. Good point. But let me finish on my rant. The Korn Ferry Tour, and again, well, Michael Wan did a great job taking the LPGA, which was in the ditch and it was barely breathing, and he turned it around. How did he turn it around? Well, he made it more of a world tour and started getting more celebrity for those players. And I guess that's my big point, is they could have started building up the people on the feeder tours, okay? I should say feeder tours. Or other world tours.
Frank, go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was just going to say, but the truth is, I mean, the game of golf has always been and will always be, I think, even with Korn Ferry or anything, even if you want to do that, Frank, I think you're going to have a hard time getting fans that interested. First of all, they play in small markets. All those events are usually going to be played in Des Moines.
Like here this week in Nashville?
Yeah.
Simmons Bank?
Yeah. I mean, it's what I'm saying. It's not going to get a lot of attention, even if you try to promote those guys, because they're still, until they get to the PGA Tour, it's not unlike AAA baseball. You don't know a lot of those AAA guys at all, unless you really are into baseball, until they get to the major leagues. It would be a waste of money to me, I think, to try to spend a lot to try to promote AAA guys, hoping that when they get to the major leagues, people are going to know who they are, because there's no guarantee they will get to the major leagues.
What about tier two and tier three players on the PGA Tour then? Why haven't we come up with an idea before a gun was held to Camp Pontevedra's head?
They have come up with an idea, Frank. It doesn't happen to be your idea.
No, that's true.
Here's your first point was that they should have spent money on the Corn Ferry Tour, and then you gave an example of Mike Wann and how he transformed the LPGA. He didn't transform the LPGA by developing the lesser tour. What he did is he expanded the tour and made it an international tour. I mean, 30% of the tournaments are outside of the United States, Frank.
I know.
And so I don't understand your point about the Corn Ferry.
Well, I guess
PGA is doing exactly what Mike Wann, his model is. You know what? Let's go where the demand is.
Finally.
Let's not try to create the demand. Let's not try to create a market. Let's go where the market is. That's the easiest. That's the least path of least resistance in this whole deal.
I don't disagree.
And that's what they're doing.
I don't disagree with that. I guess I went overboard, but my point of all of that, I guess I didn't express it properly. My point is, I think there could have been more done building up to this point in time right now to ward off this Premier Golf League concept and all the money, I mean, the deep, deep, deep pockets that these promoters and supporters obviously have.
Well,
but here's the other point, though. Just to leave that on the table then, leave that alone, and I'll fight another day. But here's the other point. The PGA Tour, and this is rumored. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. The Premier Golf League, if you will, doesn't have in place media relationships and tournament sites and relationships and all that sort of thing like the PGA Tour does. And since 1968, the Tour has been building their foundational value, period. They don't have a group of guys that are putting up all the money for this thing that may go away tomorrow, okay? They have tournament after tournament after corporation after corporation after corporation after city after city after city after charity after charity after charity that are already set up.
What's your point?
Their foundation is solid as a rock. The foundation of the Premier Golf League is just money-based at this point. Don't know when it could dry up. It could be a well that goes dry after it's dug in 2 months. You don't know.
Well, it is something too that happened in soccer recently, and we saw the result of that, and I want to talk about that too, because that probably plays into as far as the philosophy of all this and the big money versus what's already established. But before we do that, we want to take a quick break here. We want to give a chance to have you listen to a few of our sponsors that are helping support this show. So we're going to come back, and don't go away, because we're going to come back and talk more about the Premier League, but also about what happened in soccer and how that may correlate to what's going on here in golf. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we will be back right after this.
You're still running your business on QuickBooks? QuickBooks? Well, it's more like quicksand. You know, the bigger your company grows, the faster you sink with outdated software that just can't keep up, and you know you want your company to grow as big as it can. Keep growing and growing and growing. So why are you using software you know you'll outgrow? You don't have time to spend dealing with manual processes like multiple systems delay, scrambling to get the numbers you need. You need to get on solid ground with NetSuite by Oracle. It's a scalable solution to run all of your key back office operations, no matter how big your company grows. That's what you're looking for. NetSuite helps you automate your key business processes. Close your books in a fraction of the time. Think days, not weeks. Right now, NetSuite's offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to graduate from QuickBooks. Head to netsuite.com/golftalk. Special financing for you graduates at netsuite.com/golftalk. netsuite.com/golftalk.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett and our good friend Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, talking about the latest, hottest subject going on in golf, and that, of course, is the Premier Golf League. Some also calling it the Super Golf League, and it basically comes down to money, tying it in with what happened in Premier Soccer around the world, or certainly over in Europe in that part of the world. Is they got a lot of teams, Real Madrid and Manchester United, big, big franchise, big names teams, only about a dozen of them, but all their owners saying, oh, we could do our own thing, get all the money and the glory and get all the superstars in one kind of league and do our own thing and get away from the smaller guys that are kind of killing us. And they got a revolt like nobody's business, and suddenly the fans were going crazy, still are going crazy over some of the owners, some happen to be Americans, that they resent for trying to pull the league apart as it is now. So would if this happened and it goes down that road, and Phil right now I think is the only one who's, Phil Mickelson, the only one who's kind of acted like maybe there's something there. And of course Phil's in a different boat. Phil's not winning on the PGA Tour. Phil's barely going to maybe even play in U.S. Opens and PGA Championships because he's 51 and he's getting out of that limelight as far as the PGA Tour. The younger guys seem like they're going, we don't need to do it. When it comes to money, and that's really what this is all about, I'm asking Steve Johnson. Steve, these guys are already, if you're talking Spieth and Dustin and Justin and Rory and Colin and whoever else, Koepka, they're already making 10 and 20 and 30 and $50 million a year on and off the golf course. Would another $50 million, I know it's nice, it helps, but to sacrifice all the other things they get along with that and not thumb their nose at the PGA Tour, is it worth it for them when they're already making that kind of money?
You know what? I don't know. What they need to do is they need to just analyze what their options are. And when you say, I hate the argument that people say, hey, how much is enough? Is enough enough? Is $100 million enough? Is $200? Hey, we're a capitalist society. Hey, if you can get it, why not get it? You never know when it's going to be over. I just don't like that.
But there's a price to pay for that, is my point. There's a price to pay. If you say, okay, then we're out of the PGA Tour. We're now exposed. We may not be able to play in majors. That's the price you pay for that. So money is money. But if there's a cost to that, if you're saying, okay, I'll make a lot more money, and it is a capitalist world, that's great. But boy, I can't play in a Masters.
It's a player's decision. But you know, you guys are relating what happened to FIFA to a PGA Tour player. Long-standing roots of these teams identified with cities. Cities identify with teams, just like the Dallas Cowboys. If the Dallas Cowboys were to decide, hey, you know what, we're gonna go to a Saudi league, and we're gonna be, you know, Jerry's gonna get all this money. I mean, you don't think that the people in Dallas, after 70 years or 65 years of backing a team and feeling like, hey, this is America's team. This is part of the culture. They don't relate the same way to a PGA Tour player as they do to a team that's on Manchester United or Tottenham or whatever team is the roots of that city. That's why the people are so pissed still. Is they could care less if Phil Mickelson is living in California or he's living in Dallas. They could care less. So I mean, I don't know if you can relate
two. So it's a fair point, and I'm not saying they can be. So I was asking because it's very similar how that's been structured as far as taking them out and put a lot of money into it. And you're right, it is a different thing as far as an individual. Phil doesn't play for a team. Phil is your favorite player if he's your favorite player, or Rory is, or whoever. If they play somewhere else, you would probably still like them. They're not associated with a team and or a city. So that's a valid point to bring up. My point more is both of them were all about the money. Right, the Glazer family, which owns Tampa Bay, also owns Manchester United. They were one of the people instrumental in trying to start that new soccer league, and it was all about the big bucks and all about the money that they could create, which built some of the resentment for their fan base. Would fans, and I don't think they probably would in golf, and Frank, I'll ask you, would fans care if Rory stopped playing on the PGA Tour and you didn't see him, whether you want to go in person or even on TV, Rory's now going to be playing in Europe and in Middle East and I guess in the Far East and Asia and everywhere. Those are where his tournaments are going to be. Let's be honest, it's a time difference thing too. You're not going to be able to watch Rory play in tournaments that are 3 in the morning, you know, at midnight and whatever. So would fans resent the fact that some of these guys were to leave the PGA Tour? What do you think, Frank?
I think they would. I think a certain number of them would resent it that they left the PGA Tour. They would see it, and there's already a grumbling about, and you hear it. You hear it in the bars or in your country club pro shop or locker room, whatever. The guys talking about, God, they're already, you know, this multimillionaire, and they're whining about money. You always hear it about the money. There's a little bit of resentment there and a lot of people's souls about how much money they perceive a PGA Tour player makes in a week. Well, it's not a week. It's a lifetime of effort and work. But, yeah, I do. I think the resentment would grow a little bit. I think you're absolutely on point talking about the time issue and the media distribution of the product itself. I don't want to watch a replay of a tournament. It's just something in my soul. I can't do it. I want to see it live. You know, I want to see the player.
So it comes down to Steve. It comes down to Steve.
I'm glad you guys invited me today because I'm the voice of reason here.
Okay, go ahead. Steve's already clipped one.
You guys are out there. You guys are out there today. Here, Frank. Okay. If you don't want to watch something that's delayed or something that's at a different time zone, don't you think these guys are smart enough to think that? Say, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll go up to the Pacific Northwest and we'll Sahali really would love a big tournament. Let's go ahead and maybe our tournaments are going to be in the United States. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I don't know if they will be, though. That's my point.
Just because they're Saudi money, I'm sure some of them will be in Saudi Arabia. But
half of them will be outside of the United States,
They know their market. Now, I don't want to keep going
back.
Steve,
you say that. What happened to the smart owners of the Premier League in soccer? Those are all smart guys, all billionaire guys. They were all smart. They apparently hadn't thought of everything because it completely backfired on them. So to say these Saudi guys have it figured out is not fair to say that they don't know what's going to happen. And I promise you they're not going to be able to play all these tournaments in the United States. And they need the U.S. Everybody
needs
the U.S. when it comes to golf.
It's not over, Tim. That these guys have a strategy. Maybe their strategy is not over. I'm sure that they realize, hey, you know what? If we threaten on taking our team out of this city, which this city is all about this team. If we threaten, maybe we've got some negotiating in some other areas.
That's
I mean, these
point.
Guys are a lot smarter than you and me. I don't think they said, oh man, we didn't think about that, guys. God damn, our bad. I think they've thought of everything, and it hasn't all played out yet, Tim.
I think Steve's right, or the golf.
As difficult as it is for me to admit this, I think Steve's right on that. I think these boys are sitting back going, okay, we fired that bullet. Let's see where it lands. Now we got five more in the chamber. Are we talking about
golf or soccer?
Soccer.
It does not. What's that?
Soccer and golf. I mean, in both. I think the soccer thing is not totally over. I think you're right.
I don't think it is either.
Damn it, I had to agree with Steve. Shit.
You're finally on the right side of an argument here, Frank.
Oh my God!
Oh, it's over. It's over.
Oh, maybe you can bring that corn fairy argument back.
Yeah, I'll
you got to rethink that.
You know what? I'm listing badly after the damage your torpedo did to me. I mean,
listing
the Bassett Tannic.
They
is
were
going down.
We're talking, by the way, with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf and talking about the Premier Golf League that's coming to play. So why is it that nobody is backing it yet, Steve, in your opinion? Why is it that, other than Phil, kind of giving a, you never know, and Phil's in a different boat than the Rusty's guys, is it because there's too much price to pay? Yeah, the money's great, but if we're going to have to back off from the PGA Tour and be exercised from the PGA Tour, is that too great a price to pay? Why we're not hearing?
It's called patience. And here's why. Because if a player speaks out right now, he has no incentive to speak out right now.
No.
There's too much. Let's say the Premier League fizzles out and someone commits to, hey, yeah, I'm in. Let me, you know, I'll go for 30 million. I'm in. And it doesn't happen. Then that guy's not going to be playing on President's Cup teams. That guy's not going to be playing on Ryder Cup teams. That guy is not going to be one of the premier guys that, I mean, PGA Tour controls who they show on television based on the pairings and all that stuff. Now, there is some criteria to who gets paired together, but nonetheless, it's not in the player's incentive right now to say anything. They're smart. I mean, the only guy that said anything is, you know, is Phil, and he's 50-something years old, and he's past his prime. He is a big marquee player, but he can sway a lot. If this thing does happen, he will sway a lot of players. My biggest takeaway on this whole thing is the PGA Tour's response and how they consistently bully their players. They bully media. They bully sponsors.
You're here.
I mean, it is a big bullying organization, yeah. and Jay Monahan didn't hesitate to say, hey, you know what? If you do that, you're out with us. That's to say that to an independent contractor. That's pretty bold.
Well, did Greg, correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but didn't Greg Norman make a similar pitch?
Yes.
30 years ago, yes. 25 years ago, about somehow, I don't know how he defined it, but starting his own World Golf League, if you will, golf organization. And that didn't happen either. Was that also because, I mean, both you guys maybe don't remember better than I do, did the PGA Tour basically thump that one down? Is that what changed and why? Because at the time, Norman was Tiger Woods, right? Greg was the top of the world.
Yep.
And he was saying, hey, maybe we need to do more. Play in Australia, play in other places. It shouldn't all be just PGA Tour USA. And it didn't come about. Was that the reasoning? Do you guys remember? Was it because the PGA Tour put their thumb down on it? Steve?
I don't know, Tim.
Do you remember?
I don't know.
You guys remember that, though? I'm not making it up, am I?
No, that was more in an organic development of that, too. I mean, I think Greg Norman was one of the big pillars on that. Now, I'm sure that he had sponsors and all that stuff because he had a great, tremendous reach at that point. But remember, you're dealing with players that are professional tour golfers. Not a lot. I mean, for a lot of them, that's all they have. It's not like, hey, you know what? If I don't have the PGA Tour, not like some of the young guys that went to Stanford and, you know, their fathers started Sun Microsystems and all that. Hey, if
who?
A lot of these guys are it's just Oracle. I mean, to a certain extent, it's just like the NFL and the NBA. If these guys aren't working here, man, they're at Home Depot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like us in the media, you know.
Not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah. So, well, Greg Norman's deal, though, guys, I think, now, Steve, please correct me if I'm wrong. I know you will. Greg Norman's deal wasn't he wanted to form his own league. I think it was more like we need to get greater distribution of venues, of sites around the world. And come on, tour, if you're not going to do it, somebody's going to step up and do it. And I'm behind that. Wasn't that his pretense, I believe, which became the WGC, the World Golf Championships.
Yeah, but I think he did want to also take away. He wanted tournaments, but it was going to interfere in the PGA Tour. I don't remember if it was a totally separate. You can't be in both. But I know the PGA Tour was very much against it. So it somehow was going to – it wasn't just about, hey, let's expand, which, of course, they have now. A lot more tournaments in Europe and Japan and China and stuff. It wasn't just that, I don't think. It was somehow going to be breaking away. I remember that because the PGA Tour at the time was Dean Beaman, I think, right? And at the time, I think they were – okay, that's not going to happen. And I think, so my point to that as a reference is, you know what, this has happened before, and I think the PGA Tour has always puffed up their chest. If we're saying they're bullies, then they're bullies. They've always done that, and I think they're doing the same thing now, saying, okay, here's what's going to happen if you guys decide to do this. And I guess it's worked in the past, and maybe they think it'll work this time as well. What will be the ramifications as we wrap this up? Frank and Steve, both of you. Because this has happened, the PGA Tour's got to be having meetings about this as we speak to say, okay, how are we going to keep this down, and what do we have to do so that this doesn't come up again in 2 years or 5 years? What are we going to have to do? Is there some appeasement to the people in Saudi Arabia, to the world of golf, that we need to do better, different? What do you think is going to happen because of all this? Steve?
You're up, Frank.
Okay. I think the PGA Tour probably is having meetings, and somebody's probably told them to go back to the mattress where they found the $40 million slush fund and find some more. Let's face it. They haven't distributed the money from that $700, $800 gazillion-dollar deal that they did for media rights that starts next year. So there's a lot more money there than we know about. And I think that the distribution of that money we will see because of this whole incident in higher payouts at tournaments. That's what the players
are. It has been about money. I mean, that's all that this seems to be about is we're going to guarantee you $50 million, $100 million. Steve, can the PGA Tour come up with more money? Is there more money that would be had? And will that tap the brakes on any player that might be thinking, maybe I could do this if there is indeed, instead of a $10 million purse for a regular tour event, it's a $20 million, a $25 million purse, and suddenly now you're playing every week for winner gets $3 million or something? Is that, and it's happened. I mean, Tiger brought up paychecks a huge amount in the last 25 years. Is money going to solve this problem for the PGA Tour?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want you guys just to sit back here and just listen just for a second, okay? I'm going to sketch this out for you.
Okay.
The PGA Tour already has the money. I mean, I'm not talking about their bank. What they need is and this is what I think the Saudis are looking for ultimately. Remember, we do not live in a vacuum. A few years ago, players were discouraged from going to Saudi Arabia because of the treatment of the people. Hey, this regime is questionable. We're pulling out. So the Saudis are trying to get back in. All the Saudis want, guys, write this down, Frank, because this is one of the key factors of this whole deal. The Saudis want to be partners with the PGA Tour. They do not want to take over the PGA Tour. I think ultimately they want to be a partner with the PGA Tour, have some tournaments over there. They will bring the $40 to $60 to $80 to $100 million that the PGA Tour would like. The PGA Tour can leverage its power. And do you want to, as a business, would you rather try to squelch everybody that came that appeared to be a threat to you? Or do you want to partner with those people? I mean, ultimately, they've got money over there. They're going to do something. Why not partner with them? That's my solution.
Okay. I can't disagree with that at all.
Now, they have partnered with the European Tour, right? I mean, what is their FedEx Cup called on the European Tour?
15% is all, though. I mean, they could go. PGA Tour has the resources to go a lot deeper to monopolize the whole professional golf scene.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So the European Tour is already focused on Race to Dubai, right? So the Saudi area, that part of the world, all those different countries that we're talking about with all the oil money, and that's what they can do, have done everything I think they can on the European Tour. Maybe that has been a taste of the golf world, knowing that the PGA Tour is the real gold standard, right? Not the European Tour.
Right.
So maybe it is the next step of that to say, okay, we're partnering. We're very much involved in the European Tour. Now we want to – is there any chance at any point – that both tours would combine? Can the European Tour and the PGA Tour, would this be an instrument to merge those of some sort so you have quite literally a world tour now where it's all combined and it's different and maybe there's more members, right? More tournaments, more members, and it's not just the European Tour and the PGA Tour. Are the Saudis trying to maybe make that happen, that merge?
Possibly, but you know, we see models in other sports like tennis, which is an individual sport with the guys are independent contractors. There are a number of major tours out there. Now, they're nothing compared to the major championships that I think, what do they have, 6 major championships a year?
Yeah,
but
something like that.
French. You know, US.
Four.
Wimbledon,
four of
French,
them. Do they have four?
U.S.
Yeah.
Australian,
Wimbledon,
French,
Australian,
Wimbledon,
French Open. Yeah. Those four. Yeah, those are the four for tennis. I think.
What about a WGC expansion?
Maybe.
And maybe
have one of the tournaments. Maybe the Saudis, and we say that as a general term, but for that region, maybe the people with all the money, and again, $100 million to them, I don't think is a factor at all. That's a drop in the bucket. Half a billion to them is, I think, a drop in the bucket to get the world exposure and get the best golfers in the world focusing, if you will, on that part of the world. I think that, you know, that all that money coming in is something the PGA Tour, the meeting we're talking about that they're having right now, how do we tap into that, which we really haven't done? And will it interfere with the European Tour? That's why I brought that up. Are they going to go, hey, whoa, we're already tied into these guys. Don't drink out of our trough of money that we're getting there. But maybe the Saudi area is saying, we need a bigger piece of the pie. It's not just Europe. We need the PGA Tour as well. And maybe that's what this will focus on. And maybe it'll create that. Anyway, it's a good discussion to have.
Tim.
No real answers, but
Tim,
interesting to have. Yes.
You know, since $100 million is a drop in the bucket for them, we'll do this show live from the desert for $20 million. Live.
We're doing the show live from the desert every day,
the
Frank.
The desert. The financial desert.
That's what we're doing. We're doing it from the desert, baby. Hey, Steve, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you giving us your insight and your hot sports opinions, as always.
Yeah.
How's everything going at the golf ranch, by the way? Are you guys busy?
It's going great. The weather's perfect. We're in a great location. And I want to take this opportunity, guys, I was contentious today. I want to take this opportunity to apologize to you guys for all the stuff that I said.
No, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's true. It's true, but I feel bad about it.
You can pay my psychologist. I have an appointment this afternoon.
I'm not. I'm sorry. I said it. I don't deny any of it's true. But I'm sorry that I said
Frank's a damn idiot. Okay.
That's why we have you.
I didn't go that deep. I didn't go that deep, Frank.
But
you
were thinking
you.
It. you teleprompted it.
Not that deep, but you cut deep.
Telepathically sent it over here.
All right, Steve. You got to get back on the tractor. I might come out there and see you today. Okay.
Come on, Tim. We'll get an open invitation.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that, buddy. Always great having you
on. All right, buddy. Take care.
See you, bud.
We'll talk to you soon. All right. Take care. Stevie Johnson there.
Well, damn.
Hey, can he go? He does. He's got hot opinions, man. I'm telling you.
Well, real quick before we go, maybe I didn't present it right. But my whole point was, you know, why now all of a sudden, oh boy, we better start putting some money into all this, building these players up and social media and helping their. Why didn't we do this 10 years ago, 15 years ago? We could, and this would have never happened.
Maybe they could have.
That was my point. I mean, I said Corn Ferry only because we have an event here, the Simmons Bank Open, that's here in Nashville this week, benefiting the Snedeker Foundation. Brant's here for the tournament and all that good stuff, or was here first of the week. So anyway, I guess I kind of went off the rails, but thank God for Steve to cut off my left leg. My right leg's already lame.
To lay down more track.
I'm crawling across the floor as we speak.
Yeah,
can we take the running car? Yeah.
Can we take the running car? Well, let's go over to the chainsaw.
Anyway.
All right.
What can I say?
That's why it's fun. Everybody's got their opinions. I mean, they're not always, we don't have to agree with everybody, right?
Yeah, they do.
That's what's great about it. We're good.
Okay. And again, I want a disclaimer here real quick.
We got to get out.
Disclaimer here. Yep. I hammered the PGA Tour pretty hard, but I also hammered Premier Golf League pretty hard. So let's throw it all out on the table, and then let's all regroup. And pat each other on the back, and let's do what's best for, number one, the charities that benefit from all of this.
Yep.
Number two, the communities that benefit. And again, I think I made a damn good point, Tim, that the PGA Tour since 1968 has built a very, very solid foundation in the communities with the corporations and with the charities that you don't have on the flip side right now. So I think Steve's right on this point. I think maybe they want a seat at the table is what they really want.
Maybe.
And
maybe
the best way to do it is just scare the hell out of them so the tour says, well, wait a minute, you know. And we are a global community, whether we like it or not. And whether we like the way they do things in Saudi Arabia or whether they like the way they do things in Indonesia or England, for God's sake. You know, Church of England, we left because of that, right? So let's all just figure this thing out and not destroy the product that is the PGA Tour.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays. I mean, we've talked about how they have used bullying tactics. And will that stay or not? I don't know. But it's a great topic to throw out there. I mean, that's what gets you going, right? Every day. Get something else to talk about.
There go our credentials.
Hey, one right. Remind everybody to check out Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com to find out more about joining Club Corp. Of course, in your area, a club in your area, and you join one. You remember the whole Club Corp community of over 300 courses and facilities all around the country. Go to clubcorp.com to find out more about them. Thanks to Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. Again, check it out at the Golf Ranch. Go to thegolfranch.net. If you want to know more, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and want to work on your game a little bit, he'll help you with that. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.